Good afternoon. It is 2:35 and today is Wednesday, March 1st, 2017. Present today are Representative Ortiz, Representative Pruitt, Representative Kawasaki, Representative Wilson, Vice Chair Guerra, Representative Tilton, Representative Grand, Representative Guttenberg, Representative Thompson, myself, Co-Chair Seaton, Representative Foster will join us soon. Before we start, remind people about their cell phones. Today we have committee substitutes for House Bill 57 and 58. And in your packets, you will not only have copies of both bills, but you will also have a word compare document that highlights all of the changes that were made during our First Amendment process. And Legislative Finance is preparing their usual list of reports that will be posted on their website after the meeting. You also have in your packets the following reports: a multi-year agency summary of unrestricted general funds, and those are by departments. You have multi-year agency summary general fund, that's unrestricted and designated general funds, and we have been joined by Representative Foster. And then you also have multi-year agency summary of total funds. So remember, total funds will be federal funds, as well as other funds and UGF and DGF. So I want to make clear that these versions of the budget bills are not final. They're just one more step along the budget development process. However, at this point in time, this budget would result in about approximately a $200 million surplus in FY18. We will be taking public testimony on the new committee work drafts tomorrow, Friday, and Saturday. Our meeting tomorrow, March 2nd, starts at 1 p.m. until 3:30 p.m. We'll take public testimony from people in Homer, Kenai, Ketchikan, Kodiak, Matsu, and Seward. From 3:45 to 6 p.m., we'll take public testimony from those in Barrow, Dillingham, and Fairbanks. The complete schedule for public testimony for Friday and Saturday is posted on BASIS. Do remember that testimony is limited to 2 minutes per person, and people should arrive 15 minutes prior to the end of the allotted time period, or the testimony will close early. If you are a member of a group with the same message, in interest of time, please select a spokesman to testify for the entire group, and make sure you let us know how many are in the group. If you are calling from a community without a legislative information office, that is an off-net caller, your call during the designated off-time period on March 3rd and 4th. And all of the off-net callers are required to hang up immediately after their testimony is taken to keep them as many lines open as possible for other callers. Testifiers can continue to access the meeting online at www.akleg.gov. Click on the Alaska State Legislature and then choose Listen Live Now button. The hearing will also maybe be televised on Gavel to Gavel. You'll need to check their listings. And please arrive 15 minutes early to expedite the sign-in process at the LIOs. If you are in a community with a legislative information office but are unable to access it during the specified time period, you may send your written testimony to House Finance Committee at housefinance@akleg.gov through 5 p.m. Saturday, March 4th, 2017. And please note that the budget testimony for off-net callers, that's communities without a legislative information office, is scheduled for March 3rd and 4th, and you can see that schedule. And you'll need to call 465-4648 by 5 p.m. on Wednesday through Saturday to obtain the call-in phone number. After public testimony, we will have another round of amendments that we've been calling round two in committee the next week. starting Tuesday morning. And amendments must be submitted to the Legislative Finance Division on the new electronic amendment system no later than 5 p.m. Saturday, March 4th. If amendments change any language sections, the legal draft language must be attached to the electronic amendment when submitted to Legislative Finance. If members already know of amendments they plan to submit, please do not wait until the deadline to submit them to Legislative Finance. I want to remind members that if they are planning budget amendments for the House floor, all floor amendments must be drafted by Leg Legal, not just the finance system. So,
Mr. Chairman, question?
Representative Wilson.
Two questions. First of all, is it your intent in public testimony that when a certain time ends for certain communities that you will end it and go to the next community and roll those down, or are you going to finish like from 1 to 3, whoever you have listed, and then start the 3 o'clock one, whenever that one gets done? I mean, because Fairbanks is one of the later ones tomorrow in anticipation if things start running over. I don't necessarily want them waiting 2-3 hours while they're still waiting for everybody else to testify at the LIO. So is your intent to start on time at each one of the ones as they do and roll the excess to the end of the testimony?
Yes, that's my intention, is that we have a time slot for those communities to testify, and then we'll go to the next communities, and we'll have to come back to them. If there are other members that are waiting to testify from those communities that weren't able to make it during their time slot. So if a number of people come in late to the meeting, they probably will have to wait to the next time slot.
Okay, and a question about the amendments.
Representative Wilson.
So we're going to be listening here on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, yet you want our amendments done by 5 o'clock Saturday, pretty much before I think the public testimony has even ended, or if it has ended, it just barely ended. We have to have time to be able to go back, and because we have to write them to this instead, and I want to make sure that everybody's comment is important, and the way we can do that is to have time after public comment ends versus having to leave here to go and make sure that our amendments, you know, are taken. I would say, you know, at least Sunday at 5 o'clock so that we have time to take in everything that we've been told and be able to write them, you know, because I've written amendments, but they're all to the other, to the original. Now that we'll have to go back through and make sure that they're to here. But I want to make sure that everybody feels, even those on Saturday, that their opinion is important, and to do it at 5 o'clock would mean that we would have, I know I would have to leave to go back and be able to spend time to make all the corrections that's necessary since we're going to be here for 3 full days.
Well, thank you, Representative Wilson, but we're having a 5 p.m. deadline on amendment, and so hopefully those testimonies that you're concerned about from your committees and other communities and others will be before that, and they'll be addressed in those. Otherwise, you can offer them on the floor.
So basically, it's not about me. It's about those who ended up being on Saturday, you know, for their testimony. I want to make sure that they know that, you know, they may bring something up at the last minute, and they should have the same opportunity as those communities who were on Thursday or Friday. So it's really about the constituents in those last places to make sure that their voice is heard and we have the same opportunity.
Thank you, Representative Wilson. Now, Representative Foster, we have bills before us, committee substitutes. Can I have a motion?
Sure, for Chair. I move that the committee adopt as its work draft committee substitute for HB 57 Finance 30-GH1855/U. And
is there any objection to adopting the work draft? There's an objection. Would you like to speak to your objection?
Okay. I have a quick idea, Mr. Chair. This is very quick.
back in order. Representative
Wilson.
Wilson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And I'm objecting because after we had some of the amendments yesterday, I was able to find other information, especially on the $4 billion potential draw of the earnings reserve, and want to make sure that was on record for those to understand. I found an article that actually was done by Governor Walker and what he thought about the $4 billion draw. And if it's okay, I just kind of like to share that. Basically, what it says is that taking that much money out of the earnings reserve would substantially reduce the value of the permanent fund, and then in turn would reduce the fund's earning potential. And how, you might ask, Mr. Chairman, because I did. Since a fast drawdown does not allow for the fund to keep up with inflation and reduces the fund's purchasing power, it would leave us with $150 million to $200 million less that could be drawn annually under a rules-based framework. So this is our governor who's very concerned that we would be taking this much money. It wasn't just he that was concerned, Mr. Chairman, but we also had questions that were asked of Commissioner Hockbeck on the same issue, and he says pretty much the same thing in a response to this committee. It was in answer number 7, but it says the same thing. Taking out $4 billion or more in a single fiscal year would inevitably erode the value of the fund and hurt its future ability to provide support for both dividends and government. And I just think that, you know, having that, in, you know, we can go into whether it should or shouldn't be, but this point to me is how devastating are we going to make it for the permanent fund earnings reserve for future years? How does it affect the dividend in future years? We're taking a certain amount of money out, and it's in the budget, and we don't even know what the budget's going to look like.
Thank you, Representative Wilson. Just a correction. Those are addressing $4 billion ad hoc draw at a single time. We had testimony in here. First of all, you should know from our discussions that this is a draw over two fiscal years. One is drawn in 17, and the other is drawn in 18. So this is a half of that in each year. And we had testimony from Angela Rodell that the schedule is in August of each year, and so we are not taking an ad hoc draw, which is what you are talking about, of a $4 billion draw on the budget reserve. So I understand your point, and I appreciate that. However, it is definitely wrong for what our bill does. So,
Mr. Chairman, if I could finish, because that's usually my prerogative as I'm, you know, have the objection. It's not just that portion of it, but it also goes on and says, without having something in place, so you're not just taking out as much money as you want, which is exactly what's happening here, whether you're taking out in 1 year or 2 years, you're going to impact, and we heard that from Angela Riddell on earlier testimony. I found it very interesting that her testimony yesterday was very different than it was a week ago, where she was very cautious about how much money would have to be taken out, how investment would change based on if government was going to start using this as basically their general fund account. Although you're taking this out in 2 years, you're also taking out in 2 years without even knowing what the final budget is here, what the final budget will be in that part of it. But there, I don't think there's any argument that we're taking money out of the biggest growing potential we have right now because of the way it's invested versus the constitutional budget reserve, which it was invested quite well at one time as well. But by statute, they're required to sell it and put it in safe things, which is what they've done. And I just think the public needs to realize that there has been a lot of talk about just basically reaching your hand in the cookie jar and picking out a certain amount of money out of it, and how that could affect not just this year, but future years. And that's all in this budget amount. And I just want to make sure that in this budget, as we're going to be pulling out all the other things, I mean, this is a big document for 2 minutes. None of us could do that. But yet we're asking, yes, they can send an email, they can do all the rest. But we all know, too, that the boxes will fill up. And sitting here and listening, we're going to be hearing it to start with. But I think not having the time to be able to completely discuss taking that much money, whether you're talking 1 year or 2 years, will substantially impact the permanent fund. especially if we don't continue to see the stock market rise and we have a plummet like we had before, and that the earnings that we left in there could completely disappear. So I just want to make sure, as people are going to be ready to testify, that they have an understanding, because that discussion didn't happen yesterday. The discussion happened about what the amendment did, but not completely about what can happen in the future because of such a large draw, and that we're also putting into an account that's going to make little to no money for it, so it's also future revenue that we're also going to lose.
Representative Garrett.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. You know, I understand the disagreement, having served both in the minority and the majority, when I was in the minority, you know, this brand new 200-page budget document was slapped on my desk somewhere around the same time as public testimony, and nobody really got a chance to testify on it. I understand the frustration, right? And I've got some issues that I would like to see taken care of. But this whole discussion about what happened a few years ago and what's happening here, I just want to correct the record. The comparison is not an apples-to-apples comparison. 2 years ago, when there was an attempt by the former majority to take $5 billion from the earnings reserve.
On point of order, this is not on.
Mr. Chair, I'm addressing the point. I'm addressing the point that's been made over and over and over again, and I would like it corrected on the record, please.
At ease, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Mr. Chair, if you, I'll certainly take your word. I thought I heard a reference to what happened a couple years ago, but okay. There are a few things that are going on in this bill, and certainly they're worth a discussion. It temporarily, unless and there will be bills on the permanent fund. There's one in the Senate. I don't know if there's going to be one from the minority. There was from the minority leader last year. There are three or four of these permanent fund bills coming around. I'm personally one that would like a larger dividend, but that's my personal opinion. This one has an $1,150 dividend as opposed to the governor's $1,000 last year, as opposed to the $1,000 one that's in the other body, as opposed to other $1,000 dividends that have been proposed. Even though it's not the same level as I would like, it is bigger than the other proposals. This budget does what this legislature has historically done until last year, which is it puts education fund into the public education fund, and that money will be the full amount of money to pay for the base student allocation. There have been a lot of odd things done around this building in the last few years, but I think just to be fair about it, there's a bigger dividend here. It seeks to fund public education so the money can roll out to fully meet the base student allocation next year. I'm one that would like to see a bigger base student allocation. We've had discussions in this committee that some would like to see a smaller one. There's certainly a lot to say, but those points, I think, are fair to make. All right. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Garrett, Representative Pruitt, and then Thompson.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. So my objection in terms of adopting the CS actually comes from several different points. One is we are trying to base this budget on bills that haven't passed. And that's what we've included in here. We've included through the various amendments basically a framework for which bills that are in this committee, if they don't go through, at least we've got them in the budget. And I don't know that that's really the direction to go. The second thing that I have a challenge with is the attempt to remove the role of the minority in crafting the budget. And that's in a multifaceted way. First, to remove the CBR discussion, which is, while I'm not referencing and specifically talking about the details of 2 years ago and the letter that came forward, it's essentially the same concept. And it was objected to then, but yet now, it's okay. And if it was not okay then, why is it all of a sudden okay now? And the third thing that I am challenged with is the process and how this is going forward. So what we had is we had amendments by majority members, and now we're going to ask the public to testify on those amendments and the bill as it currently sits. As a minority member myself, I was not given that opportunity, neither were the other three members from the minority sitting here, to offer amendments before public testimony comes here in the next couple days. So essentially, either all of the amendments should be allowed before public testimony, or no amendments should be allowed until after. One way or the other, what you've done is you've split and said, majority, you get the opportunity. People can testify that. And you've separated and essentially allowed the 17,500 people that are represented by each one of the four of us, as well as the many members that are actually sitting here. And Mr. Chair, I know you didn't recognize them, but I would like to recognize our colleagues that have joined us here today. Many of them, it looks like, are from the caucus of which I'm a part of, and I thank them for being here, because they've been told to come to us to offer these minority amendments. They did not get the same opportunity as majority members to be able to offer up these amendments so that people could discuss them, whether they passed or not, in public testimony coming up in the next couple of days. And so I think that the CS, that's my objection to the CS, is either have a CS that includes the opportunity for all of the discussion, or CS that's just essentially what the governor dropped. And it's one or the other, not a little bit of half of each one. So, Mr. Chair, I think consistency is probably needed for us. It's needed for the public.
And thank you. And just for clarification, every minority member was on finance subcommittees. The recommendations that have come forward and been rolled into the CS are all subcommittee amendments. The input was available in the subcommittees, and so there has been no personal amendments offered by finance members. The only subcommittee amendments were offered, and so that has all been there. I was the subcommittee chair of the language amendments, and I offered those not as personal amendments but as the subcommittee chair. And so we have had equal representation and equal abilities for input through all the subcommittees. We had the subcommittees were composed of the policy committees, and those were all composed of members of the majority and the minority in the representation percentages that they were selected into that committee. So I would disagree with the comments, and just for further note, Representative Guerra, the subject of the letter that was 2 years ago has been brought up, and I will allow you in a minute to respond to that, but I will just say that the situation that Representative Wilson talks about is the proposal that was 2 years ago by the then majority that wanted to take $4.5 billion as one-time shot out of the earnings reserve, deposited in the corpus of the fund, making it unavailable for appropriation, with the schedule of another $1.5 billion out of the earnings reserve and deposited into the corpus in the following year, making it unavailable for appropriation. So if we want to talk about overdraws, we can talk about that proposal from 2 years ago from the then existing majority that was objected to by several members, including myself, as a way of basically depleting our savings to the point where we might not have even been able to do a PFD. So that is the situation that was objected to then, and we are not at all in that situation in this bill. This bill takes a structured draw, and in fact it takes the same draw that was proposed by the governor in the 5.25% of market value, and in 17, and the 5.25 in 18, and those are the two amounts that are in this. And we had testimony from Angela Odell, the executive director of the Permanent Fund Corporation, that said that that would not influence her in the way that draw was going. They wouldn't change their investment strategies. And if you weren't here for that, I'm sorry you missed it. But she was here and testified directly to the questions that Representative Wilson is asking, and that was not going to be a problem on the draw. So just offering those comments, and we have...
Mr. Chair, though...
Representative Pruitt, follow up.
Just to follow up on that. So I wanted... I'm just gonna read from one of the subcommittee narratives. The budget amendments are submitted by the subcommittee chair. I think to say that all the subcommittee, I mean, I've heard from many of my colleagues that have felt that their ability to be a part of the process, they didn't feel that they were fully able. And part of that was because in some cases there were opportunities to offer amendments, but in other cases there weren't. The subcommittee chairs just wrote essentially the report. And so to indicate that all of the members had an opportunity in that, I don't think that fully respects the what was actually taking place in practice. Now, I did get the opportunity, for instance, in judiciary, I had the ability to vote, and I appreciate Representative Guerra for giving us the opportunity, and some of my colleagues offered up amendments that were defeated. I recognize that. But I do believe that there was some leeway in that. The other thing I wanted to ask, and I've been curious about this, you highlighted that you were the subcommittee chairman of the language. I didn't even know there was a subcommittee chairman for language. When did you meet? Who was on that committee? And at what point in time did that discussion go on? Because that one was one that I didn't recall hearing anything about.
That's correct, Representative Pruitt. The language section is the purview of the chairman of the operating budget, and I was the chair of that, sole member of that in the language operations. The difference is that in the past, all of those were rolled into the CS and were never seen, were never voted upon by the House Finance Committee. This time, every single amendment was proposed and was discussed and was voted upon by this full committee. So that was the procedure. It's never been done before. It's always been rolled in behind closed doors into a CS that came out on your table. This CS that you have before you only contains changes to the budget, the governor's budget J, that were voted on in this full committee and were incorporated or amendments were pulled out, and that was all actions that were taken in this by this committee. So that is the system now versus the system in the past. And so we are now going to Representative Thompson.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. I wanted to back up and reference the reference by Representative Wilson to the gigantic draw on the earnings reserve fund of $4.2 billion. And then I wanted to say that I believe you misstated what Angela Rodell told us. She was specifically asked, when do you make the draw for the permanent fund dividend checks? She stated then that that draw was made in August. She further stated that the $1.7 billion draw that will go to the education fund would be made the 1st of July. So this you said it would be made over 2 years, and she makes her draws in August, I think was a misstatement, because she did state that the $1.7 billion for the education fund would be made and transferred the 1st of July. Permanent fund dividends, those draws are made in August. But the size of the draw and the effect of lost earnings on that money, it amounts to $2 to $4 billion, or $2 to $400 million a year, depending on what we're making. Right now, the permanent fund's making 18%. You take that towards the amount of money that we're pulling out of the earnings reserve that could have earned 18% at the present time. That's hundreds of millions of dollars that we're going to be losing there. And I'm kind of a little bit disappointed in the process of how we got to that. And I also, Mr. Co-Chair, I'd like to recognize the other House members that are present.
I will do that in a minute.
Thank you. That's the start of my objections, but I'll let you continue.
Okay. Thank you again. And just for clarification, Angelo Dell testified in here that the $1.7 billion draw would be structured. They could do that over time, starting now, and so that would not be a cash problem for them. They wouldn't have to sell off assets in any function, and you can go back and listen to the tape on the question about the 1.7 in FY17. So I would like to recognize that we've been joined in the room by Representative Johnston, Representative Sullivan Leonard, Representative Millett, Representative Sadler, Representative Rauscher, Representative Johnson, Representative Birch, Representative Cox. Get those two confused. let's see. We have Representative Talrico, Representative Knopp, Representative Eastman, Representative Chenault, and Representative Newman, and Representative Reindl. Is there anyone that I've missed? Thank you for joining us today. Representative Tilton.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My objections to this CS are many, starting with the fact that there is a bill in the CS that is bills that were previously on the being discussed in committee and were rolled into this CS, and it's bills that have not passed. And so we're making appropriations and a budget on bills that haven't passed yet. There was a dividend rate that was set in this CS that has no real explanation of how that rate was arrived at. And then, of course, the removal of the CBR. I'm very concerned about the ability for the public testimony, and I'm extremely concerned for the MATSU. They are in the first rounds of public testimony, and they have seen this for less than 24 hours, this CS here, and they're going to have 2 minutes to testify on something that has such large changes in it. And I did question the subcommittee, which you did answer, and I thank you for answering that. The subcommittee, when it came to the language section of the bill, was yourself, and you were the whole subcommittee, so thank you for letting us know about that. I do feel like my colleagues who are sitting here in the audience did not get the voice that they should have received. We did receive in the memos from you and from subcommittee chairs that amendments would not be allowed if the subcommittee chair didn't like them. It was just that simple. If a subcommittee chair did not care for your memo or for your amendment, they didn't have to add them in there. I guess the process, you know, it might be contended that everything was within the rights and done the way it should be, but I think, as I said before, just because you can doesn't mean you should. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Further, Reverend Guerra.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
I'm going to allow a second round just because I cut you off, and apparently both previous members had talked about.
Thank you, sir. I'm not even going to dare go there because I thought I heard it and I was wrong, and then I didn't hear it when it was said. So I'm staying away from that for right now. But what I was going to get to have been some of the points that are made here. I get not being happy with the budget. I last year was not happy with the budget. But there's a big difference. And there are some similarities. And to hear the similarities being complained about by folks who started those similarities is very odd. So, first of all, last year and every year I've been on the Finance Committee, the committee chairman, without consultation with anybody in the minority, would write the language section, put it in a 200-page document, and slap it on the table. And then you'd have to find stuff by yourself. And if you didn't find it, you missed it. Some of the stuff would be read through. Some of it was confusing, but there was no real debate. And in this case, every single one of these amendments was discussed one by one with the whole committee. I guess folks can complain about it, but it involved more discussion than has been allowed in the past. In the past, the committee chair wrote the committee substitute. It ended up on our tables. We didn't debate the changes. We didn't discuss the changes. The public never heard any discussion of the changes. And all of a sudden, there was public testimony on a 200-page document. In this case, all of the amendments have been on the record so people can hear them. Now, is that great? Most of the world doesn't watch Gavel to Gavel. So it's not a perfect system. But it's been more openly discussed than in the past. There's the whole subcommittee issue, and I get that. They've different chairs in the past have run them differently, and this year different chairs ran them differently. In the past, some subcommittees did not allow amendments. Some subcommittees did. In this year, I know most allowed amendments. I've heard that there may have been one or two that did the same as in the past and didn't allow amendments. But I guess if the complaints are going to be there, they should be about the conduct that has existed under prior majorities and not stated as if the things that are being complained about are brand new. They're, in almost every single case, this budget process has been more transparent and more open, including the discussion of every single amendment that went into this document. So I get that somebody would say that this system isn't perfect. It's better than what we've had in the past, but better than what we've had in the past is not perfect. So I get the comments. I just don't want people to complain about things that they used to do in the past. That would bother me. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Your further, we're going to everybody first.
Okay.
Are there further comments on the adoption of the CS for House Bill 57 Finance Version U as a working document? The Reverend Wilson.
Okay, Mr. Chairman, I just want to clarify a few comments that you had made. The answers from the Commissioner Hotbeck is January 27, 2017. So it's recent. We're not talking about years ago. Governor Walker, it was published May 14, 2016. So I just want to make sure you know there's current. But I also want to make sure that's on the record that in the past, the other draw that was talking about the $4 billion was actually putting the money back into the corpus. It was not to spend it on government. So I just want to make sure that as we talk about different draws and where it was going to go, would have had different effects. I'm not complaining about the way the system worked. System worked as much as people wanted to participate in, you know, so I'm not complaining about that. My objection was purely because I believe that there is a section in here that is much bigger than what I've ever seen in a budget bill, and I just want to make sure that the Alaskans who this is what it's for understand all the different mechanisms, because it took us a couple hours over one amendment that had six parts to it. So it's not about the system, it's about the size. It was a big one. Nobody will complain about that it was or wasn't. And so, again, not everybody watches gavel to gavel. So, you know, when we have the choice of, you know, of having a bill or having it in the budget, which we had a bill for it, you know, I just want to make sure that when people testify tomorrow, as we cut them off, because 2 minutes will go by fast, that there's some understanding by the committee that they're really trying to get everything in. So don't take mine as complaining about how it worked. I think the I think Representative Seaton, as chair, has done it differently. We've gone through much more than we've gone in the past. But there are things that weren't done in the past that are much bigger. And in these times when we're trying to have people catch up on all the money thing, while they're trying to take care of their own family, I just want to make sure that they have the opportunity, and hopefully they've had it in the past too, to make good comments so that we're able to then bring forth those corrections they may see. So with that, I do keep my objection. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Representative Wilson. And just for clarification, the draw from the earnings reserve is exactly the same as was proposed by the governor. In fact, it's less than was proposed by the governor, because the governor proposed in 17 a draw of 5.25 in addition to the permanent fund dividend that was paid in 17. We did not do that. We reduced that amount of the draw so that it was 5.25% of the value minus the amount, the $695 million that was paid out in dividends. So I understand your objection. It was not an objection that is based upon what we did in amendments. It is maybe an objection to what the governor originally proposed as the draw in 17 and proposed as the draw in the 18, because that's exactly the amount of the draw that we had in this bill. So that did not change at all. So just for clarification, that was in the original bill, and it's only reduced in the CS that you have before you. So if you maintain your objection, we will go to roll call vote, please.
Representative Tilton?
No.
Representative Wilson?
No.
Representative Guerra?
Yes.
Representative Gren?
Yes.
Representative Guttenberg?
Yes.
Representative Kawasaki?
Yes.
Representative Ortiz?
Yes.
Representative Pruitt?
No.
Representative Thompson?
No.
Representative Seaton?
Yes.
Representative Foster?
Yes.
Seven yay, four nay.
So with a vote of seven in favor and four against, we have adopted the U version of CS House Bill 57 Finance. Representative Foster.
I move that the committee adopt as its worked draft committee substitute for HB 59, which is Finance 30GH1856. / J for Juliet, and that's Wallace 2-28-17.
Thank you. Is there an objection? This is a mental health budget. Seeing no objection, the CS for House Bill 59 Finance has been adopted. Is there further discussion? Let's see. Seeing none, we will be adjourned at 3:20, and we will see everybody next meeting, which is tomorrow
at 1 o'clock. 1 o'clock.
Finance will be tomorrow at 1 o'clock here. So we'll adjourn. Thank you.